And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Voices from the Grid podcast. I almost said the more phenomenal hockey show because that's kind of the hockey, kind of the semi Power Ranger show I've been doing a lot more lately, or recording at least lately. But yeah, this is Voices from the Grid. It is I, Michael, being joined by Brian. I'm not bothering with Ranger colors because I feel like our colors are probably in flux anyways over things.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Hi, everybody. How's it going? Brian here.
So with that, we're going to hop right on into it. We got our three episodes of Save Our Ship, Shell Shocked, and Never Stop Searching. And we're going to start right off the bat with Save Our Ship, which is when the Power Rangers return to Earth with Andros to bond better with him, along with Ashley spending time with Andros because, well, they already made that known that they want to ship them together. Unfortunately for them, Astronema has followed the Rangers there and unleashes Ecliptor on them. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull team up with a nutty old scientist named Professor Phenomenus to prove that aliens do exist and are currently targeting Earth.
I mean,
okay,
come
let's just
on.
talk about Bulk and Skull because, quite frankly, it's more interesting than everything else here.
I completely agree.
We'll get to the juice bar in a little bit because obviously there's a massive change to that as well. So Bulk and Skull, they don't need to go see a professor to know that aliens exist. They've already gone through 5 seasons of knowing that there are aliens and monsters.
I'm sorry, did we completely forget that the Alien Rangers exist at this point? Like, did we forget that, like...
Technically, Rita is an alien, that technically Goldar is an alien, that technically Lord Zedd is an alien, that technically Divatox is an alien.
You know, like the Putties and, you know, the Tengu. Sorry, Tenga, my bad. Ooh, I can't, don't want to get sued by Fox. You know, like...
Do you mean Disney?
Yeah, Disney. Sorry, yeah, they own it now, don't they? Probably in that landfill where Deadpool and Logan were fighting. Anyways,
how funny would that have been if, like,
right?
you just randomly saw, like, what's it called again?
What
the void, the
yeah, the
void.
void.
It's like you're in the void, and then, like, all of a sudden, there's like the 1995 like Megazord just randomly out there with Deadpool and Wolverine battling it out, or it's like. No, actually, it would be even better. You just randomly see, like, Deadpool get super excited for it, and then you see him try to start working the Megazord.
Come on, work, damn you!
But anyways, but what sets them off is the fact that they're looking through a telescope out in the night sky, trying to discover a comet, and instead they spotted Astronema's Dark Fortress. Well, they don't know it's the Dark Fortress, but... You know, they spot it.
They frantically are screaming UFO to each other, and I'm like, there's a base on the moon. It's been usurped by like at least one other faction, and you're freaking out because there's an alien ship. I'm like, this is just so interesting to me, like this universe that they live in where they can get invaded on a weekly basis by monsters that are destroying the financial district or, sorry, the warehouse district of Angel Grove, which thankfully is unoccupied every time. And see like a UFO in the sky, or, well, to be more topical, it's kind of like seeing, I don't know, drones flying around New Jersey or something, and they're freaking out, you know? And it's like, this isn't news.
Yeah, y'all are used to this stuff by now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about Professor Phenomenus in a little bit. But the other thing I want us to talk about is that the Youth Center is no more. It is now called the Surf Spot and is owned by Adele Ferguson. A, what happened to Lieutenant Stone? B, when did this sale happen? C, I'm actually kind of okay for being called the surf spot because that actually sounds kind of cool. Thoughts?
It definitely sounds like a spot that belongs in California. I'll give them that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, especially the fact that Angel Grove is in California.
Yeah. What was it? Obviously, well, that's the thing I'm curious about, is this supposed to be, Ernie's Juice Bar, reconceptualized as a new thing, or are they trying to pass this off as like a brand new place? I can't quite tell.
So, like, in my, it's the exact same spot in the exact same place as the youth center.
Right.
So, like, I'm trying to see if there's anything. And here's the thing. This location, the surf spot, only appears in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Only appears in 8 episodes this season. 8. And hilariously, its first appearance is now with Save Our Ship. You and I don't talk about it again until episode 13, which is Grandma Matchmaker. Which, boy, do we have thoughts on that one when we do that episode.
Oh boy, that one's gonna be fun. So yeah,
But
there's
here's the interesting thing though. In Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always, they did a retcon where they said where they confirmed that both the youth center and the surf spot are two separate locations.
interesting.
But
Okay.
throughout the show, it has always been the same location.
Okay. Well, that
So they did
tracks.
like
That.
a re so they did a retcon in Once and Always.
Well, I mean, I can see that being a retcon being made. I guess. I don't know. This whole season, like, here's the thing. In space, overall, the first couple of episodes, it feels like they're trying to do things that they've done for years. Like, for instance, this whole episode is about them going back to Earth. And I guess they needed supplies. And
Yeah, that was the reason. That was the reason why they went back to Earth.
I was like, I don't remember any of that from the last episode. I thought that we were just, gung ho moving forward deeper into space trying to find Zordon. But sure, let's make a pit stop back home. Why don't we, guys? And they're like going back to their lives and like going to the surf spot, and it's like Zordon, Tube, Dark Spectre, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and but
And it just feels like we're treading old ground where it's like, oh, they're still in school and yeah, they got to go to the sh shop. And it's like, thankfully, it feels like over time they kind of that and go, well, if it's going to be a show called Power Rangers in Space, they need to maybe possibly be in space.
Oh yeah, definitely. And meanwhile, they're in Earth, they're at the surf spot. obviously, Bulk and Skull have seen Astronomer's ship, our fortress. So they're at the surf spot as well. Bulk is obviously bullying Skull over the food, saying, when you well, if you brought your wallet, you would have had food, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like gorging on the food in front of Skull. And Andrew sees this. And with his telekinesis powers, puts hot sauce in Bulk Shake. To which then, because Bulk had given Skull a glass of water and says, "This is what you get," and Skull drinks the entire thing, that puts Bulk in a comedic sense of, "Oh my God, I need water." Which, by the way, water does not work when it comes to hot stuff. Milk does. Because there's
Oh,
enzymes in milk that
he needs
help with
some
it.
milk.
Yeah, that boy needs some milk. But one of the best things about it was what's it called? Ashley is questioning Andrews about if he was the one who did that, and he just brushes it off by going like, "What's a milkshake?" S silly KO35 people.
With their lack of, lactose product. There was definitely a few things about just like Andros in this episode where I was like, okay, I don't know if they're setting him up to just be like, oh wow, all these different Earth things, so weird. But like the way he's portraying it, it just seems like he's like play he's like the second he's off his ship or he's like not in space, he's suddenly like one of the most incompetent people. Or at the very least, he's just so bewildered by like your weird and different to me Earth customs that like he just seems like,
Well,
obviously a fish out of water.
I mean, we'll remember the first time he meets the other Rangers. Like, TJ puts his hand out for a handshake, and Andrus is like, "What are you doing?" Because like handshakes weren't are apparently not custom on KO35.
They bump elbows instead. I mean, I don't know. It makes sense. He's an alien. I mean, he's a human alien, but he's an alien.
But anyways, we're gonna move real quick. Quantrons attack the Rangers with a new version of Go-Go Power Rangers playing, which was like a little heavier metal-ish version. Pretty solid, pretty good. Then the Rangers battle Ecliptor for the first time, while meanwhile Astronema is destroying Nasada. But the Rangers were able to manage to save the Astro Megaship. And then obviously you get an Astro Megazord battle with Ecliptor because, well, we have to have one in every episode at least, or some type of Megazord battle. And then, so that's that. That's the irrelevant stuff. Going back to the relevant stuff, Bulk and Skull. They finally meet Professor Phenomenus at what is called Phenomenus Ingenious Incorporated. What are your thoughts on the professor?
Guy really needs to find a Six Flags bus to dance off of. I don't like him. I am not. His whole shtick this entire season, and thankfully, here's the thing, it's a double-edged sword because thankfully it's he doesn't show up a whole lot, but sadly that means that Bulk and Skull don't either. This dude just downgrades Bulk and Skull from like all. It just feels like all the progress that we made with Bulk and Skull, because they tie their lot in with Professor Phenomenus, it just feels like, what are we doing here? And like, I don't like him. Like his whole shtick is that he travels around in this like food truck converted into like this science lab, and looking for aliens and trying to find proof of aliens, which, by the way, there's already proof of aliens. You live in Angel Grove, it comes with the territory. But his whole thing is he has these little doodickies and, like, gadgets and gizmos that he comes up with. And his whole shtick is like he'll point at an ordinary object. Like, like a Denver Broncos like mini helmet right now for those who can't see, and Bolgan will be like, oh, that's just an ordinary little desk helmet. He's like, ah, yes, to the untrained eye. But then he'll like try and scan it and like be like, no, it's actually an alien, and a Quantron will appear or something, and all of a sudden, oh wow, yeah, it must have been or something.
So
I
the
don't.
professor appears in 22 episodes of In Space and 4 episodes of Lost Galaxy. And is played by actor Jack Banning, who let's see here, I'm trying to see some things about him, see if he did anything else.
He kind of reminded me a little bit of like Mr. Noodle from Sesame Street.
Yeah, but he passed away in 2005.
Oh, wow.
So, but yeah, so like that was, yeah, he's definitely weird. I mean, he definitely hams it up. Which in a way sometimes can be considered good, sometimes can be considered bad. Yeah, he wasn't known for, as a big actor. Like he's always done bit parts and stuff.
I wonder if that this is like his biggest role, maybe then.
It was
Gotcha.
Professor Phenomenus and Genius, which I guess was his last name because that's what it's saying on IMDb,
Okay.
was his pretty much his biggest role per IMDb.
Well, I'm glad he got a big role, but like, as far as the character goes, not a big fan of this character. Like,
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I miss Lieutenant Stone.
Yeah. Like, what happened to that dude?
Did he get drafted into the Peace Corps too or something? Like, what happened? We got no, he just like left town without even leaving a Dear John letter. So,
Yeah, 'cause
anyway.
like I'm looking at Yeah, he's not even in the season as a citizen or a civilian.
Nope. I think he got a victim. He became a victim of hey, we're gonna go with somebody else, which is very common in Power Rangers.
Yeah. So obviously for this episode, Brian, why don't you talk about if there is any Mega Ranger notes?
So for this story, and I will also say for the next one,
And I do know that there is a Mega Ranger reference within the show itself when TJ and Ashley are in the
right.
what's it called? The Astro the what's it called? The Astro
So I do have a
Oh, the
it's
Simu deck, the Simo deck. There you go.
the sim the simi deck,
Yeah,
yeah.
the Simu deck.
So, in my little note here that I've labeled as a side off of like, meanwhile in the Sentai, under my notes saying wacky Sentai shenanigans, during training on the ship, Carlos says, "And you can program the simi deck to look like anywhere?" To which Andrew says, "That's right. Too bad it's not more like Next Gen's holodeck, which is actually capable of doing so." But short, this is more like a Matrix themed laser room that allows them to fight random monsters of the weeks and craterites, which you'll be seeing much later on in the show. In Mega Ranger, these purple things are actually known as the Soldiers Kune Kune, who are the actual henchmen of Mega Ranger. The Quantrons are nowhere to be seen there. As for why we have these banners saying Mega Blue and Mega Yellow, no idea why they kept that in there when they're literally filming their own footage to have them in there a second later. Feels like something if they were trying to like not put in random things like that, they could have very easily shot around. So the fact that they kept that in there, like maybe somebody was like, "I'm done editing for the day." That's the only thing I can think of. As for episodes of Mega Ranger, where story might have been used, there's really none. There are three episodes where they got footage though. From episode one, they got Ecliptor and Craterite simi deck fight footage. Episode two, we got the Manta Menace simi deck footage, and episode eight, we got the Ecliptor versus Megazord fight footage. Now, I will be talking about episode eight later on, because there is story later on with that. But as for this episode, there's no real plot beats that we can talk about here. So,
Right.
moving on.
It should be noted real quick. Going back to Bulk and Skull, I'm reading the notes on the Ranger Wiki real quick just for this. Bulk and Skull subplot mentioned before of trying to prove aliens existed before, doesn't it make sense, as we've been talking about since even all the way back in the MMPR episode, No Clowning Around, which, by the way, No Clowning Around, Season 1, Episode 11. The people of Earth know that Rita exists, so they should know that aliens do in fact exist. They should have been knowing this since Season 1, Episode 11.
The only I just had this thought pop into my head. The only reason I feel like they're even somewhat doing this is so for the audience, when we get to the finale, it can kind of set up the oh wow kind of like spectacle of it all with aliens showing up. You know, it's like oh holy crap, wasn't expecting this. But if you've been watching since Mighty Morphin, there you go.
Yeah. So, but anyways, this episode ends with a cliffhanger, which is something we get quite a bit on this season. And this cliffhanger is that Astronema targets the sewers of New York City, which then leads us to our next episode of Shell Shocked. Shell Shocked.
Shell shock.
Shell shocked. Now, it should be noted that as this episode is airing, there is another show airing at the same time, also through, I believe, Fox Kids. And that is Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation. And Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation, and I'm going to put this out there right now, this episode of Shell Shocked airs on February 27th, 1998, Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation also has an episode come out on February 27th, 1998, and is actually the first part of a four-part episode called Unchain My Part. And it should be noted that there's also a female turtle called Venus de Milo. So let's see here. So as we saw, Astronema summoned the turtles at the end of the previous episode. She enlists them to fight the Power Rangers and cast a spell on them. So I'm just gonna go right into this. So we get to see the Astro Gliders for the first time with the team. Obviously, we had seen it before with Andros by himself, but now we get to see the team use it for the first time. As they battle a monster, the turtles magically arrive. How convenient. They put on a show to impress the Rangers to destroy the monster. And this is the one thing I do really like about this episode. It's not the turtles, it's Andros. Because, like, from the get-go, Andros is, like, very suspicious of the turtles. But the others are obviously more than willing to bring them on board because, like, hey, they're on our side. They helped us. Like, we know what the turtles are. And, like, and, but the funny thing is that, like, you know, like, there's a moment where Andros pulls them aside and goes, like, you guys do realize how conveniently they showed up, right? Like, don't you want to like take a moment? And it's that's called logic. How can we have that in Power Rangers?
Right?
It's unheard of. But anyways, so you have Anders being like suspicious of it, going like, "What's going on here? I don't understand. Like, where do these guys come from?" Well, he was right because the turtles eventually would sabotage Deka, and the turtles capture the Rangers minus Andros because, oh, actually, backtrack a little bit. Astronema comes on board, and then a battle ensues, which then causes the capture of the Rangers minus Andros on the ship. One of the Quantrons actually trash talks the Rangers while they're tied up. Which was so great. It's like, oh, we got you, you Power Rangers. It's like, wait, they can talk? And they can actually trash talk? Damn. That's some good stuff right there.
Try and see a putty do that.
Yeah, I know. And then obviously Andrews uses his telekinesis to set the Rangers free. I do like how, like, when he cuts the tube, he accidentally drops the scissors, which causes the Quantron to come back to TJ.
Investigate,
Yeah, to investigate it, and the TJ is like, "Oh yeah, you know," it was like, and the Quantron sees the thing on the ground. It's like, "Oh, what's that for?" And he's like, "Oh, to cut this, just like how it cut these tubes." And like he froze the tubes, and it's, you know, they start fighting and they break away and everything. I thought that was kind of cool. Obviously, the Rangers get in the mega ship, they fly away, and they see a reverse polarized field, to which they fly into to, you know, trap, you know, Astromina. Which leads to possibly one of the greatest lines ever said by Michelangelo. You're asking a turtle who lives in a sewer about a cosmic event.
I have that written down here too. That was
That is possibly the greatest line of this, maybe not just the episode, but possibly of this season. So I just want that's a great line. Obviously, the Rangers then battle the Quantrons on Earth. Because of the reverse polarized field, the spell on the turtles is broken, and the turtles then come. They deactivate the ship from self-destructing, and then they go down to help the Rangers for real this time. And then, to essentially end the episode, the turtles ride the Astro Gliders to end the episode. Thoughts on this episode outside of possibly the greatest line ever said by in this show slash season.
So I have a few. For starters, when Astronema in the last episode, in like the like not even 2 minute like preview, when she tries to recruit the turtles before pulling out old reliable and brainwashing them to be evil, because you know there's no other way to convince a good person to fight your fight. Mentioned that Power Rangers are comic book characters. Now, I'm jumping the gun here, but I know that in Ninja Storm, the Power Rangers were also comic book characters there. Now, I'm curious how this works because it's not like they're dimension hopping. And that's the case, like, which Rangers are in the Ninja Turtles comic book stash? Like, is it Mighty Morphin? Is it Zeo, or is it like something completely different altogether, like a concept that like you know just so happens to be like actually real out there? I don't know. What do you think about this? I have ADHD and like this is one of my you know like I think about this kind of stuff. I really do not like communication. If I can talk about turtles for a second,
Go for it. I am giving you 5 minutes to talk about turtles, and then we're wrapping up this episode.
sounds good to me, bud. Okay, look, Ninja Turtles was one of my first loves. It's like Batman and Ninja Turtles. I was collecting Ninja Turtle toys before I ever once heard about Power Rangers or whatever.
I mean, we both kind of were. I mean, we both had Batman 89 and then Batman the Animated Series. We both had the Turtles animated series growing up and then the Turtles live action movies. So we're both the same on that one. But continue.
So obviously we had the comic book. I wasn't aware of the comic book until I got older, but then like we had the 87 cartoon, which ran, I want to say it ran until like 95 on CBS. Yes, Saban, you know, got the rights to produce a live action show. Obviously didn't use any of the assets from the Jim Henson Corporation when they made the first three live action movies to like utilize those suits at all. I'm honestly of the opinion when it comes to Ninja Turtles Next Mutation that they needed to take a break because for starters, like it is absolutely a Saban thing to put Venus de Milo there to
And
kind of
it
make it a
should be noted that Peter Laird, the co-creator of TMNT, hated Venus so much that when the show ended, you did not see her again until I think 2023 in a comic book.
Yes.
That is
Re
how much Peter Laird, the co-creator of TMNT, hated Venus.
Not to be confused with the IDW run where there's that character Jenica, by the way.
Yeah, completely
Different.
different.
Yeah. See, I like turtles. I like Toyles. Anyways, so like for starters, turtles don't have boobs and they don't have hair, so I don't know what the hell's going on there. But also, like, her character isn't necessary. Like, oh, we need to add a girl to the mix. It's like there it's one thing with a Power Ranger team to be like, hey, we're gonna put like boys and girls on the team, and you know, we're gonna make them diverse and like we're gonna make them inclusive. That's totally fine. Is Ninja Turtles. These characters are established. Like, you don't need to do this. Like
Well, there's no hair on them.
Well, I guess like her bandana is like braided like a ponytail, and I
Yeah,
kind of forget.
I think that's what it
Yeah,
is.
I kind of forget, but it's just like it's so weird to me. I can't process that. Oh, wait, sorry, that's not hair. It's yeah. Anyways, I don't know. I watched this. Here's the thing too. This is like the last time that we got a crossover with a different franchise. And I would have really
Probably because
preferred.
of the fact that it also was like all the crossovers was with Saban brands, Masked Rider, Turtles, Next Generation, and Next Mutation. They were all Saban productions.
I can't believe it took until like 2024 for us to get VR Troopers in anything Power Rangers. But like, you know, with Masked Rider, it's like, yeah, that was promoting the show. And then, like, with this, it's also promoting, Ninja Turtles Next Mutation.
Which, by
We're
the
just.
way, at the at like at the point that they're at with Next Mutation, like they're at the midway, they got like 10 episodes left in their
Yeah.
one and only season. Like they're almost done.
I can't remember for the life of me anything about that show other than.
It
Like
existed.
it existed. Venus de Milo is there, and then she never shows her face again in the franchise. And also Shredder's suit is dumber than the like world coming out of the shell's world tour suit
Well,
somehow.
here's an interesting note about this episode. Due to the Next Mutation being filmed in Vancouver, while Power Rangers was filmed in California, the Turtles were portrayed by different suit and voice actors in the episode to those from their own show. So we don't even get the actual actor, both suit and voice actors, for the Turtles
Yeah.
in this episode. We also don't get to see Splinter either.
Which sucks.
Which is
I like
probably okay.
I forget
Another
if
interesting note is that this also marks the first time that the Power Rangers were referred to as comic book characters, with it not happening again until Ninja Storm's Prelude Tour Storm by Tori. And yeah.
I
I think that
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and this also episode marks the first time that both the Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchises would cross over with each other, followed by two comic book crossovers from Boom Studios and IDW, which are actually great reads,
Absolutely love them.
and came out with some pretty cool toys. But with that, we are ending our conversation on this episode. We are going to be moving on to our next and final episode of this episode, and that is Never Stop Searching, which is the episode where we learn a little bit more about Andros. And the synopsis of this episode, per the Ranger Wiki, is Carlos stumbles upon Andros watching a video of himself as a child with his young sister Carone when she was kidnapped by an unknown creature. Soon, a life form reading appears on Andros' home world of KO-35, which he assumes is maybe Carone. but what actually awaits him is an ambush by a Kliptor. When this leads to Carlos being injured by following him there, Andros quickly learns the best way to get through guilt is by relying on others. Because nothing like guilting others into your plot of story. Ain't that right?
Oh, I completely agree.
So, as mentioned, Andros is scanning for life with Deka, in other sectors of space, and this is how we actually learn that Andros has a sister named Caron, and that he's searching for her, and that she was kidnapped as a child. And Carlos sees this without Andros knowing, and life is detected on Andros's home planet. So he sets course while all the others are asleep, because again, he doesn't want them to know. And then as they get to KO-35, he actually heads down by himself with the idea of being back before they wake up, which obviously does not work. And Carlos is the one to inform the others of Andros's search, and he heads down to aid Andros. Obviously, Andros goes face to face with Ecliptor. Andros is not faring well, and then Carlos comes in with the save, which obviously gets him injured. With Carlos back on the ship, Andros returns to battle Ecliptor, to which TJ, Cassie, and Ashley head down to help Andros, and then eventually Carlos joins the team as well. And then it just pretty much ends with Carlos and Andros talking about being a team and how they are there for each other. Because again, Andros is so used to just running it solo. Whereas, Carlos and the others, they've been a team since the second half of Turbo. So, we'll talk about Bulk and Skull in a little bit. So, Brian, your thoughts on this episode?
I do have some thoughts about the footage that Andros is viewing. Because it shows the moment that obviously Caron gets kidnapped, which the way this is shot, have to just go, it's a kid show. I can't think too much about this because this is supposed to be like a home movie, I think. So be both a zoom in of Caron screaming, then we see her getting lifted off her feet, then we cut back to Andros looking back at what's happening, and then we get this Bigfoot shot of the person who kidnapped her behind the trees. Right? The only logical reasoning I can come up with is that like Andros has some kind of memory viewing tech that amplifies his memories of that day, but even still, it doesn't really play well as actual home footage. At that point, that's what's happening. Who's filming this? Is it the parents? Because if the parents are filming this, why didn't they step in and protect Caron from getting kidnapped in the first place? And this is why we talk about how we're adults complaining about a kid show.
Yep.
Because these are the thoughts I had watching this. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. but I digress. Obviously, hey, we need to see points A, B, and C, and oh, this is why it affected Andros. I do like that Andros is searching for something. Obviously, like his sister was lost at a very young age, and he's, it's in the title. He's never going to stop searching for her, which I think is very admirable. Granted, in his search for her and being alone, he's kind of become a bit of a dick. And thankfully, it seems like the Rangers are kind of making him less so. And this episode's really, I think it does a lot in like, yes, Andros has already put his trust in the Turbo Rangers or the Earth Rangers who are now in Space Rangers. But like, this episode goes a long way, I think, to establishing, at the very least, a really deep rapport with Andros and Carlos, because Carlos shows him, doesn't just tell him, shows him what it means to be a team. You know what I mean? And I actually really like this episode.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not a bad episode. Hopping over the Bulk and Skull real quick. Bulk and Skull and the Professor go looking for alien eggs slash pods. But instead, they find watermelons and hilarity ensues because the professor is a psychopath.
I'm guessing the person who wrote the script had seen Alien that with the week before because
We'll talk about Alien on the next episode you and I do together because one of the episodes screams that movie so much.
oh yeah oh no I yeah
Yeah, so we'll talk about that.
I'm just in this episode the only thought I had was like somehow they put two and two together. They put two and three together and made four, where it's like, hey, what if a watermelon was actually a xenomorph egg? And then like Bulk's having this like nightmare where like a hand comes out of it, and I'm like, it's literally like the hand thing where you know, anyways. If you've seen Alien, you know what I'm talking about. But I forget, do Bulk and Skull do anything after the watermelon subplot in this episode?
What was that?
Do Bulk and Skull like after this whole like once they find out that the watermelon's actually a watermelon and not, you know, a xenomorph egg? Do they do anything else in this episode? I can't
No,
remember.
they don't. They don't. They
Okay,
don't.
cool. Okay. So, all right.
It should note that considering that Ecliptor only traveled to KO-35 because Andreas was already there. It isn't revealed what the life form that Decca originally picked up from the planet was. So you don't know what the life form was because Ecliptor wasn't there.
That's a bummer.
Obviously this is an error, but when the watermelon falls on Bulk's head, it's horizontal, but mo moments later when we see it on his head, it's now vertical.
Somebody said we'll fix it in post, and they didn't fix it in post.
I mean, here's the thing. The episode is a good one because it builds on the whole team building thing and them becoming more of a team. And like, Carlos taking one for the team to prove to Andros it's like, yeah, we can be trusted. And they've been trying to do this with Andros for a while, but yet again, when you have an episode like Shell Shocked where they got where their other Rangers are like, yeah, you can join us, and then like Andros is like, do you think that's a good idea right now? Yeah, I could also understand why Andros has a little bit of a hesitation there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, not to go back to the old that last episode, but you know, the Earth Rangers are technically still kind of guests on his ship, even though they're teammates now, and they come across these turtles from the sewer, and they're like, "Hey, you helped us out. Let's show you everything about this ship." Yeah, Andros is gonna be like, "Hey, my shit. Like, what are you doing? Like, showing them like my vital like computer like don't do that. Please don't do that. Please."
But for Never Stop Searching, when we look at Mega Ranger, you had mentioned episode 8, which is titled I Can't Lose, Turnabout Teamwork.
Yes.
This one takes a bigger pull from that episode in Never Stop Searching.
Oh yes. If I can talk about that for a bit.
Get on your soapbox, boy.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so fight between Andros and Ecliptor, a lot of that is mostly Sentai footage, which is actually a very welcome change of pace because the majority of these episodes so far, it's been a lot of like original footage due to us, you know, having Quantrons instead of the Craterites for starters. Also, the main generals in Mega Ranger being completely different, like you know, instead of it being you know Astronema and Dark Specter, you know, I can't even remember what their names are right now, but like completely different altogether. But Mega Ranger, here's the thing. The Red Ranger, the leader. And if you're familiar at all with anime tropes whatsoever, you know about what senpais are, which is like an elder classman, or somebody who's older than you who you should show respect to, because in Japan it's like respect your elders, even if they're like a year or two older than you. The Black Ranger in Mega Ranger is actually the leader of the team. What happens in this episode, and I will summarize this, I'm not going to go on forever, but the Red Ranger is extremely selfish and immature, and the rest of the Rangers are meeting up for a study group in their school. He slacks off, he goes to an arcade, and he's playing the Mega Ranger game that recruited him to be a Red Ranger, which, by the way, in the background, you can see Marvel vs. Capcom, which is awesome. Just a little thing I loved. But he comes across them, and they're running to a situation. He's going up to them saying, "Hey, can I borrow some money? I want to play some games." And they're like, "Dude, what are you talking? We did you not get the thing?" So, reason why the Sentai, this fight happens between, we get the footage for Andros and Ecliptor, is what's his name here? Uganda. That's the Japanese name for Ecliptor. Hey, if I can like divide them, then I can defeat them easily, right? He sets up this portal to go to a subspace dimension where they won't be interrupted for fighting, right? By the way, this portal is where you see all that like power plant footage that they try and match up with. The rest of the Rangers are like, "No, we're not going in there. It's a trap." The Red Ranger goes in there because he's like, "Oh, screw this. I'm gonna beat him up." And he winds up getting absolute piss kicked out of him. The Black Ranger comes through, which, by the way, you see in space, you see Carlos coming through, and it looks like he's coming through like a glass shattering thing. That's that dimensional portal opening up. I don't know why they didn't just film around that or do an American, because it's weird, but like whatever. Where Carlos is showing up for his friend and showing him that teamwork makes the dream work, Mega Black is like protecting his like junior from actually dying. He's stepping in as the leader and showing him how it should be done, because Mega Black did not show up to the Red Ranger, the Red Ranger would have died. Okay, so yeah, again, this one, if the Black Ranger had not shown up, the Red Ranger would have died. So there's this whole thing about, Andros is a lone wolf because he's always had to have been. The Red Ranger here, whose name is Kenta, by the way, is just a lazy, spoiled, selfish jackass who wants to slack off and go play video games all day. And then when his honor gets like, hurt or challenged or whatever, he is very quick to jump to, fighting. And he doesn't really care if it hurts anybody in the process, or he's not thinking about that. And that's a lesson he has to learn. Which is really interesting. And then his mentor is like, "Hey, the way you're behaving reminds me of my old friend, and that behavior led to his demise." That villain, by the way, winds up being like the main big baddie of Mega Ranger. So there's a lot of things in there that are being woven and interwoven. But I just think it's really interesting how we get this footage of, when you contextualize it, it's like, oh my God, it's like somebody way more experienced is stepping in and saving somebody who is way too inexperienced to be fighting this fight. They do enough to make it so Carlos doesn't seem like he's like a better fighter than Andros. There's enough American footage in there where Andros looks like he's able to hold his own, but in the Japanese footage, the Red Ranger just cannot hold his own against Ecliptor or Uganda or what have you. So I think it's really interesting how they, again, recontextualize that footage I'd say go check that out. The more and more I watch Mega Ranger as I'm watching this, the more I just want to sit down and watch Mega Ranger as well, because I've already watched In Space, and I'm liking it so far. It's really interesting. The one thing I will say is it's because they did this once with Mega Ranger and they never did it again, but after Power Rangers, Toei was like, well, maybe why don't we try what would happen if we recruited some teenagers with attitude to fight as Rangers? And it's pretty good. Like, yes, it's like set in a Japanese school, and there's a lot of like Japanese anime and like, high school tropes in there, but like, it's really good. So, highly recommend checking it out.
Yeah, actually, one of the greatest things, because Tokusatsu occasionally will show Super Sentai, which, by the way, that was the reason why that channel got created. But yet they somehow show everything else that has its own Twitch channel, by the way. So I say this again, give us a dedicated Super Sentai Twitch channel.
Please.
Please. But one of the funniest things, I think it was like one of the earliest episodes of Mega Ranger, there's. Because obviously there's like a command type center that the I guess the professor like the head guy is in, and
Yeah,
he
his
has like a
name.
team of people at like these control panels, and one of the funniest things I saw was a black dude speaking English, going like, "Hey, we have a problem here in this sector," and the head guy just walks up to him and starts looking at him and starts speaking in Japanese, and I'm like, "There's a black dude there."
Yeah, there's
I don't
also
think
like
I've ever
a.
seen this in Super Sentai.
There's all. Well, you know what's funny, if I can? There's also a. This is in the 42nd season. There is a black dude who, like, he speaks fluent Japanese. But so that season's called Lupin Ranger versus Pat Ranger. So it's like thieves versus cops. And the Lupin Ranger's boss is this black dude who, like, he's like every, like, American like cop captain trope that you can think of wrapped into one, and he's awesome, by the way. But that does happen sometimes, and you do get like American or like Western actors very infrequently. The other one I can think of is in Kyoryuger, which is what we got for Dino Charge. The Cyan Ranger is literally this like this white dude, and I forget what his name is. One second, but like he speaks. His name is Ramirez. He like this random dude, and like he's speaking Japanese, but in a way where it's like this is obviously like he's Canadian, but like this is obviously like somebody from overseas in the Americas coming over here and going like, "Watashi wa Ramirez-san." But it's like it's fun. It's
Well, and then
a
don't
fun.
forget, there was the first ever Power Rangers into Sentai legit crossover when Yoshi Tsutsusaro went
Yes.
over, and I think he was part of an episode of what became the counterpart of Ninja Steel.
Yes, he was so I guess he went over for so Yoshi Tsuruasa went over to Toei for a tour, and I guess he got to be like in the very beginning. He's in, I think it's like episode 38 of Ninja, and he gets saved by the Rangers, and they even talk to him in English. They're like, "Get out of here." He's like, "Thank you." And like he runs away as a civilian. That saves him is Ninja Blue. His brother would go on to be Ninja Steel Blue. And I was like, "Aw, awesome." Like his brother saved him, even in Japan. I thought that was cool.
That and like how I bet you that was also a coincidence.
Well, I mean, because, well, he was, he was Dino Charge Blue, so of course they're probably going to pair him with the Blue Ranger.
Yeah.
But I love stuff like that, and like it just Power Rangers is fun, Super Sentai is fun. I love it all. There are so many weird little quirks, especially with just Mega Ranger. My thing is, if you like Power Rangers and you're also a fan of like high school anime, slice of life anime, really like Mega Ranger. That's my two cents on that.
So with that, Brian, where can the people find you on social media?
All right, you can find me on TikTok, at least As of right now, they're
As of the
recording.
time of this release, if there is
Yeah.
still a TikTok.
If by the time that you're listening to this, TikTok's not a thing, then just ignore this. But you can find me on TikTok at BlueRangerB_Rye. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm gonna continue calling it Twitter till the day I die. At One Drunk Geek. When I'm not doing this show, you can find me over at CastWaveStudios.com doing the Two Fat Guys Eat show with my friends Colin and Sean. And you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. Mike, where can we find you?
You can find, well, first off, you can find the show on all social media at VFTG underscore PR. Click on the link tree for where you can find the show. And then, of course, for me, all my social media at this point now is at the Lindenbaum 75. Facebook is facebook.com/x75productions. And txhthockey.com. It's probably done by now at the time of the release of the actual episode because we're recording this on literally Christmas Day of 2024. But I'm releasing a docuseries called So Close, the story of the 1997-98 Washington Capitals. It's probably done by now, but you should still check it out. It's worth the 14 chapter read.
Awesome.
So with that, until our next more phenomenal oh wait, no, that's your line.
Yeah.
You say your thing so I can go on to do my thing.
Well, before get into that, I just also want to wish you, Mike, a very happy Hanukkah because it happens to be on the same day as Christmas this year.
Well, the first night is.
First night of Hanukkah. So yeah, very happy first night of Hanukkah to you and yours.
I watched this episode just like release in like,
Like on
I don't know, April, you know.
or like Halloween or something. And it's just like
Yeah,
it's
know,
right.
knowing how this show gets re how we record and release episodes, you know, this episode could like literally be released in like April or like, you know, maybe it could be like out in like April of 2026 or something. Who knows, you know. It's like
I'm
Happy
just like
Hanukkah, you know, it's all the crap, but you know.
I'm it's like they're saying Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas. It's Arbor Day. What? This makes no
It's
sense.
Labor Day. What's going on here?
But that being said, I just want to thank everybody for spending your time with us and listening to us talk about a kid show that means a lot to us, that we think way too much of. And with that being said, until our next more phenomenal episode.
May the power protect you. I mean, we just completely botched this ending. So without further ado, he normally says, grab your morphers. I go, you know, may the more till the next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you. Deuces.